Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message for this Feast of the Ascension celebration comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, a few months ago, one of our preschool boys was having a particularly difficult day in class and needed to come talk to the pastor for a few moments to settle himself down. He wouldn't follow directions and he was just being generally disruptive. So he sat in my office and I tried talking to him and getting him to focus, but it was clear I wasn't getting through to him. I would admonish him and say to him, "You need to listen to your teacher," and he would say, "You have a lot of books." I would say, "Now wait, you need to listen. You need to do what everybody else is supposed to be doing in class." And he said, "How old are you?" I wasn't getting through. So finally I decided nothing I was going to say was going to get through to him. So maybe if I could just get him to stop for a little while, get a four-year-old boy to stop. I said, "Well, we're just going to sit quietly for a few minutes. So just sit in the chair." He sat quietly for almost 5 seconds. Maybe it was 4.5. And then he began to squirm, and he looked to the back, and then he looked under the chair, and then he looked under my desk, and he was all over the place. He was technically sitting, but he wasn't sedentary. That is our Lord upon the ascension. He's sitting, but he is not sedentary. We must not have the image in our minds that upon his ascension to the right hand of God, Jesus sits and merely waits. We make this confession every week, whether in the Nicene or the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Well, he is seated, and it is at God's right hand, but it is not a still sitting. Jesus is not in a timeless timeout. He is acting constantly on your behalf. Jesus, in his ascension, receives and does 5 things in his heavenly job description for you. Jesus receives worship. Jesus rules and reigns. Jesus intercedes for us with the Father. Jesus prepares a place for us, and Jesus waits for his return. But these are not all things that just that Jesus does, but they are things that Jesus does, and he does them for you. So let's understand them a little better. First, because of his ascension, Jesus receives worship. Jesus ascends to the right hand of God the Father and is seated in his rightful place to receive worship. The Bible tells us that he ascends to this rightful place and receives worship because he died and rose for our sins. We worship the ascended Lord Jesus, not merely because he is God, but he is God-man who has died and risen for us. Revelation 5 gives us a wonderful picture, and it is almost heaven's view of the ascension. Revelation 4 is all those are gathered around the throne of God, you know, the angels and the elders and the myriads of others, and they're worshiping God the Father because he's creator. That's the focus of Revelation 4. Revelation 5 begins with a description of a scroll that can't be opened. Who's worthy to open the scroll? And then a lamb comes in, looking as if it had been slain. Hear this. Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And he went and he took the scroll of the right hand of him who was seated upon the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The Lamb ascends to his throne. It helps to visually imagine this. Down below there on earth, the apostles look up at Jesus ascending into the clouds. There in heaven ascends the Lamb to take his place on the throne at the right hand of God because he purchased people for God from every tribe and language and nation upon the earth, and he did so with his own blood. He is worshipped because he is Savior, because he has died for us. Jesus is the Lamb of God crucified for you, and he now sits and receives worship at the right hand because of that. Philippians 2 probably makes it plainer and more apparent than any other passage. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted by God to the right hand and receives worship because he is the Lamb worthy, because he is the Lamb slain, because he is the Lamb crucified. Jesus is exalted because he humbled himself to the point of death, even death upon a cross for you. In short, we worship Christ rightfully because he died and rose for us. And even our worship becomes a reminder for us of the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, because of Christ's ascension, he rules and reigns for you. Jesus is over and above all. Our text for today says it well from Ephesians 1. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Jesus rules and reigns on behalf of his people, and that should give you tremendous comfort and perspective. It gives you comfort because the one who rules and reigns over you is also the one who in ultimate love died for you. Jesus is not a ruler who is unfamiliar with his people. He's not a king locked up in his castle, sending out orders and demanding they be followed. Our ruler Jesus, who rules now, is one who has been here and done that. He has lived among us. He has faced our temptations. He has seen our sufferings and trials. We should be comforted because our King, our Christ, was here. And he rules and reigns even now as one who understands our sorrows, as one who has faced our temptations. That should also aid us and give us perspective as we deal with our own trials and sufferings in life. Because the one who is overseeing them, the one who will comfort us, the one who will get us through them, is one who understands them, and more than that, is one who loved us enough to give himself up for us. How can I be sure that God loves me in the midst of facing this disease, this financial crisis, this family turmoil? Because he died for you. He spoke to you of his love with his own breath and giving it up. And Jesus, who rules and reigns and oversees all that you're going through now, oversees it in love, in ultimate love, in sacrificial love. That gives us perspective. It gives us comfort. It gives us hope in the midst of seemingly hopeless situations. So Jesus rules and reigns in love for you because he has ascended. Jesus' ascension also brings him to a place of advantage for you because now, seated at the right hand of God, he makes intercession for you. Hebrews 7 tells us, consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Also, 1 John 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus makes intercession for you. Jesus is your advocate. Jesus has God's right ear. He speaks of his sacrifice and intercedes on your behalf. Is that comforting to you? It should be. It should be comforting to you know that you have one who's in place of advantage for you. You have an inside man. One who can point to his sacrifice. Have you ever been in a situation where you're uncertain? You're coming into a situation that is desperately uncertain. You're not sure how it's going to go. And you enter the room and there's finally somebody you recognize. Isn't there a tremendous comfort by knowing you have somebody on the inside that you know? You have that with Christ. You have one who intercedes for you, one who is an advocate for you, and always will be. He speaks to God on your behalf. Whenever your sins loom large, whenever the guilt wells up too much for you, remember that he is one who has died for you and risen for you, and one who speaks on your behalf. I'm a sinner. Yes, but I've paid for that sin. You have an intercessor with God. Two more things that Jesus' ascension does for us. Since Christ has ascended for us, he goes and prepares a place for us. John 14, verses 1 and 2, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus has gone on ahead. This text, so often used at funerals and memorials, is of tremendous comfort, of primary comfort, because it assures us that we have a place with God. Because Christ is ascended. He goes to prepare a place for us. How comforting is that for us? This next week we will have three memorials here at Shepherd of the Valley. And this text has been chosen by each of those families as the gospel reading. Because it's that comforting. Because it's that wonderful to know that Christ has ascended. And because he's ascended, I will too. In a couple minutes, we're going to sing our preparation hymn, which says exactly this. On Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my own ascension. We build the hope of our going into heaven because Christ has gone into heaven and set aside a place for us. Christ prepares a place for you. Finally, following his ascension, Jesus ascends. And he waits. Our text from Ephesians talks about Jesus who rules now and in the age to come. Jesus waits and he shall rule when he returns. He shall thunder back to the earth as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And what a great day that shall be. Yet for now he waits. When the fullness of time has come and has concluded, he shall return. But now he waits with us. You know, it's but one line in our creed. It is but one day in our church year. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And yet it brings with it tremendous comfort, tremendous hope, a tremendous acknowledgement of the love of God. Jesus is worshiped. Jesus rules and reigns. Jesus intercedes for us with the Father. Jesus prepares a place for us where we shall ascend to. And Jesus waits, and he will return. Let us give thanks to God for the blessings of Christ's ascension. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.